Bring in more revenue while saving money and differentiate yourself from the rest of the pack vying to win those guests by becoming more environmentally friendly. We will show you how easy it is and how cheap it can be, if not free, and share all the opportunities available. So join us each week as we take another step along the green path. That's one more step to differentiate yourself from the rest of the pack.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Green Path podcast. There is so much talk in the industry these days of upsells. Besides the accommodation revenue, what are the other ways to earn revenue from your property? Well, although today's product costs initially to have it installed, here is a great upsell and one that is also a draw card. Will you be one of the few in your area offering one of these? You're not only helping the guest, but you're being more kind to the planet at the same time. So today we'll learn how to install and how you can earn revenue from your EV charging point. Today my guest is Michael from Voltshare. Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Deborah?
I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining me today. Michael, I always like to start off with your personal journey, my guest's personal journey. Are you on a journey? And how and when did that start?
Yeah. So my story is worked in marketing for a long time, then started my own business about 12 years ago now. Ran that for 10 years as a founder, and then that finished about a year and a half ago. And when I sort of had gone through that full process, I suddenly thought, well, what do you want to do next, right? You've done the company. What comes next? And the biggest thing to me was that the companies I wanted to work with needed to be purpose-driven. So I kind of felt, particularly over lockdown, that especially if people are increasingly working from home, the only thing that unites teams is that you're going after a common purpose. And that purpose can be social, it can be environmental, it could be around mental health. But basically, I said, I will only work with companies that have purpose now. And that has to be kind of defined in what they're doing and be really clear. So actually, I work for a handful of companies, one of which is Voltshare. And clearly, an EV company has a really strong purpose, a really strong green agenda. Mm. And it's, you know, a wonderful place to be, because it does feel like the team, despite us being completely virtual, mm-hmm. We are all really pulling in that same direction and with the communities that we operate in as well. So it's about purpose. And I think one of those things is environmental.
Great. That's great. Okay. So look, we hear about EV charging points. A lot of people might think it's too hard. I wouldn't have a clue about these things. And, you know, or they're some box that's got to be stuck on my building. Can you explain the box? Can you explain where you can put them, how easy it might be to install? Can you just explain the installation aspect?
Okay, so first of all, the product that we have, the charger, is a charger specifically designed for charging electric vehicles. Now, if you're a property owner, the first thing to sort of to warn you is that if you don't have these and you have electric vehicle users coming to your property, there is a chance that they're going to try and charge their vehicles out of the window from a regular 3-socket pin, right? And well, I know we're going to talk about safety, but from a safety standpoint, that is not safe. And so people will find a way, right? If they need emergency charge, that is an option to them. And so the first thing to say is that a genuine designed EV charger with all the safety certificates and the necessary things, installed by, you know, a registered professional installer, is a tremendously safe option. And what they are effectively boxes that are installed on the outside of properties, and they are plugged into your regular electricity supply. They're cabled in, and in some cases, those cables can be run directly out of a position in the wall. Sometimes there is some minor kind of tunneling through the ground excavation in order to take it to the supply. Mm-hmm. But basically what it's doing is then taking that charge and making it appropriate for electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. Now, those chargers in some cases have the cable to connect into the car. In some cases, depending on which you choose to buy, they do not have. But most EV owners will have the cable to plug in, because it's a fairly standard cable. And then with our particular product, it's either an app or a QR code in order for the user to basically log in once they've plugged in, register, pay via Apple Pay or Google or whatever, and begin charging their vehicle. So they're fairly standard pieces of kit. They have all of the OCPP, CE, UKCR accreditations. They're all installed by professionals, like local professionals, electricians in your area. And what you've got is a very safe, reliable, earthed, all of those things that passes all of the necessary tests. So doing it professionally is the right way to do it, basically.
Know anything about electricity, and I'm a bit nervous about electricity. If you're going to be pulling that, well, I'm assuming it's a lot of power if it's going to power up a car, do I have to do anything to my fuse box? Does it mean that my fuse box has to be upgraded to be able to push that kind of energy to a car?
No, I mean, there's an assessment when, so the way that it works from an installation standpoint is a venue would reach out and say, look, we're interested, and we would send in a local installer to do usually a free survey. In most cases, it's free. Mm-hmm. There are some scenarios where we can do remote surveys, but generally speaking, that professional electrician goes in and looks at your power supply and understands whether it's feasible from your existing power supply. If there is then a decision to go ahead, then the charger itself deals with the conversion of that power supply to make it appropriate. In some cases, very rural locations, there might not be sufficient power, and there are options around ways that can be dealt with. But generally speaking, in most scenarios, you're looking at electrician coming in, and just as you would do if you were putting an EV charger on your home. So just because it's a rental property doesn't make it really any different from a home charger. Yeah. That everyone just go through that same process. And obviously, in the UK and other countries, there are so many of these chargers being put into home locations that the electricians are very, very familiar with all of the processes and so on.
And you've got two different kinds. One's a 7 kilowatt and one's a 22 kilowatt. What's the difference?
Yeah, so the 7 kilowatt is slightly cheaper, but it's a slower charge. Mm-hmm. And the 22 kilowatt is slightly more expensive, but it's a more rapid charge. So to understand what we normally recommend is that you try to understand how the guests might be using the chargers in order to make a decision between the two. So we specialize in hospitality and destination venues, and I'm sure we'll chat about what that means later. But if you think about, say, a B&B venue, where the majority of the users are likely to be staying there over 7, 14 days, whatever, and they're most likely going to be charging their vehicles at night, so plug it in, leave it there for 8 hours and not need it until the morning, you do not need to pay the extra for a 22-kilowatt charger, because actually most of the vehicle is going to be sat there for 8 to 10 hours and the 7-kilowatt will be fine. On the other hand, if your destination is a pub, for example, where people are driving to a lovely country pub and parking up for a couple of hours, having lunch and a couple of drinks and then going, that 2-hour window means you're more likely to need a 22 kilowatt charger because of the nature of that. And so there is benefit to having a faster charger. So there's really two options. Ultimately, the difference is how fast they're able to charge.
Yeah.
And you're weighing up. So if I'm a venue owner, would I rather have lots of slower chargers? Would I rather have one fast charger? Really, and part of the assessment, particularly when we're looking at venues where there's potential for multiple chargers, is to really look at that and understand the footfall and recommend the most appropriate number of chargers and the most appropriate charger for the type of guests that you're likely to have.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I've seen photos. I've seen incidences where you've got the box like on a holiday rental, freestanding home, and it's on the outside of the building, and I'm assuming you could put it on the inside in the garage. Now, on the outside of the building, let's say, obviously it's waterproof, it's the UK, you're probably going to freeze over, through winter and probably get a little hot in summertime. But the ones on the outside of the building, what happens in the instance where there's a box on the outside of a holiday let and someone pulls up and starts using it? Has that ever happened?
So I don't believe it's happened with our chargers, and I'm not saying that it will not. One thing to say is that these many of the chargers in the UK are on fairly universal maps. So there's one called Zap Map, where you would say that I'm a driver, I can go and find where the nearest charger is, and I would use a mapping product like Zap Map to find it. With our chargers, they aren't necessarily or by default shown on that map, and we're looking at ways of whether some venues do want to show them on those maps. But in general cases, it's not being shown on a kind of map that that somebody just driving through the neighborhood would necessarily know about. So it's more about promoting the chargers through the booking sites and so on to say that it is available.
Yeah.
Now, in theory, somebody could could drive up and park there, but you know, it's the same. It's they've got to park their car for a period of time. It's the same as somebody parking in that place. That could happen as well. Does it happen? Sometimes it probably does, but I think the what we're not doing is making big advertising the fact that, hey, you could come in off the street and use this charger. But by and large, they're outside. They're very discreet. They're good looking products. We've got them on the side of, you know, listed buildings here in the UK, and they certainly don't detract from a visual aesthetic as to the quality. In fact, you know, they look really smart. And if somebody pulls up in a great looking EV, that's the look that people have these days. And even on an old building, they're very discreet and small and just do that job. So by and large, they're outside.
Right. Okay. So let's say the unit is on the outside, or let's say it's inside, doesn't matter. So the guest, okay, I'm the guest, I'm staying at a property, and yeah, I need to charge up. What's the process for the guest?
Yeah, so we certainly work with all of the venues in advance of any guests using the product to make sure that the venue owners are completely clear about how it works. So we can provide them with printed materials or digital materials for their website so that they themselves can highlight the fact that they've got an EV charger, but also, you know, give the guests the information in advance. I think everybody feels more comfortable if you know, hey, I'm going to a venue, it's got an EV charger. That's great because either I own an EV or perhaps I'm renting a car and that car happens to be an EV, which is increasingly common. So we provide the information in advance, so it's not like a surprise when you get there. But once you do get there, there is branded signage, which explains exactly what you do. But the user has two options. They can either download an app, which is fairly, people are comfortable doing that now. But often, if you're not staying around for a longer period of time, you don't necessarily want to download another app. So then you just scan a QR code. And again, post-COVID, we are all very comfortable with scanning QR codes. And that takes you into a web version of the app. You enter your details. You're a bit like you would do with parking apps. You highlight the location that you're at based upon the map. And then you're connecting Apple Pay, Google Pay, a credit card in order to fund that. You plug everything in, hit go, and it starts charging. Now, the uniqueness with the way that we do that, because we are destination and hospitality focused, is that we allow the venue owner to set the price for the electricity that their guests are going to be paying. So that means that the venue owner can put a premium on their own electricity costs and charge the guests that little bit more in order to fund or subsidize the cost of the service or make money from the guest or the pub visitor. You know, they're coming in, they're buying food, they're parking, they're drinking, and they are taking electricity. So there's a right to do that. And even within the platform, you're able to charge different people different prices. You can create groups within the product, which means that, again, let's say I'm a pub owner, I might want to let my staff use the EV charger, but I don't want to charge a premium on them using it. So they can go into one group. Meanwhile, a guest to the venue, I want to charge a premium on. So you can start to use it as a benefit to your staff as well. So it's fairly simple. There's, you know, videos on YouTube for people that get stuck. There's lots of signage, and you know, we always ask every user, you know, rate the experience, and universally we get high experiences.
That's
It's
great.
pretty straightforward. Yeah.
So the manager or the venue manager, they actually have a dashboard where they can create all of this. They can change the prices. So if their electricity bill goes up, they can up the prices then.
So it's all in the app. So the venue owner, again, they get a venue owner pack, which explains all of this, how to, any troubleshooting that'd be a basic troubleshooting. We provide virtual troubleshooting as well, remotely. But all of the basics of setup, you know, the installer will usually get them up and running, but then they'll get taught how to control everything via the app so they can adjust their pricing and create these groups and monitor usage and you know, get paid, right? They can see how much money they're generating in the app via the charging.
Right. So in terms of the payments then, so the guest is making a payment for the electricity they're taking in. Where does that payment go to? Does that go to the manager? Does that go to you and then get divvied up?
So effectively, we take so the charge is made. We take a small fee. That's our fee for the providing the service and the support, and then the remainder, effectively, the electricity gets paid for, and then the remainder sits in an account for the venue owner within the application. And at any point in time, that venue owner can withdraw the money from that account and put it into their regular bank account. So it's like a kind of deposit service sitting
Yeah,
there
so you
until
take the payment, but then the manager can pull it out whenever they want.
they.
Okay, and you look after all of that. The manager still has to pay their electricity bill, but they pull the money out and pay the electricity bill and pocket the difference.
Yeah, effectively, the electricity payment automatically goes out. Their margin is shown in the application, and that's the profit that they're making on top of for every charge.
Great. So in terms of all the different venues, I mean, really, I think the listeners here are really more about holiday rentals.
Yep.
Buildings, apartments. What happens in an apartment block, actually? If you're an apartment owner and you want to have an EV charging point in your car space or something like that, have you had incidences like that where people are allowed to install an EV charging point?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously every case is different. One of the things that we're doing differently is the way that our model works, we're not effectively setting up a complicated legal contract with a leaseholder rights over the parking space, which is what can happen in some situations where there is kind of complex real estate rules around who owns what. We are installing the box, and if you've got the right to install a box at that part of the apartment and it's connected to your power supply, then there's little more complicated than that. But we do tend to focus on looking for buildings and sites where there are parking spaces already. We're tending not to go after off-street options because there are just so many with parking spaces. So if you've got a parking space that is dedicated to your property and there is the means of getting the electricity supply down to that, then you're effectively just putting that box next to your parking area. Yeah. But it does obviously, when we're talking to venues, we're looking at what they've got in terms of parking to understand whether it's going to be viable. And if it's not, we're going to say to that this isn't easy. There's going to be more costly because of the complications of getting the electricity supply down there. But if it's your own parking space and there's a means of getting electricity there, then it can be put in.
And then I suppose one thing that no one ever mentions is, let's say you sell a property and you want it removed. It's pretty straightforward to remove it, right?
Yeah. I mean, you've got an electrical contractor would have to come back in and make everything safe. But and speaking of which, one of the things that we're doing at the moment is actually going through our B Corp application process, which is something that came out of, I know you've interviewed Bob from EnviroRental, and we met with him at the recent event. And we got chatted to Rachel Pearson, who I believe you've already interviewed here. And this community around, like B Corp in the holiday let space, and so we as a result of that, we started going through our B Corp application process, which I'm working on as we speak. And one of the things there is around the decommissioning of products and the idea that these things have a lifespan, and what do you do once that product is, whether people move on. And so we're looking at processes for how we make sure that that's really environmentally friendly as well, so that it's kind of cradle to grave, I think is the terminology, to make sure that the parts are reused, that we can maybe resell it, or even look at communities where they might not necessarily be able to afford a new charger, and maybe we could repurpose those chargers to community assets. So there's definitely, but it might be that the new owner wants to take on the charger, and it's just a fixture within the product, within the facility, which will generate them some money, much like a solar panel on the building, for example. Yes.
Exactly, that's great. And I also noticed on your website that you have a revenue calculator.
So I think it's really important to understand what you might be able to generate from these things, to understand whether it's worth your while, and also understand the payback. So just as an example of pricing, so the charges cost in the region of £600 to £700 to buy outright at the front, and let's say roughly the same again to install, right? So you're looking at between £1,200 and £1,500 to put something in place. That's the initial outlay per charger. But then, so how quickly does it pay back? And obviously, it depends on footfall. It depends on how many people, to the extent to which you market it. But it's not untypical for a kind of 6-month payback in terms of the profits generated from charging over a busy summer season to paying back the costs of that completely installed charges. So within kind of year one, you're looking at pure profit. The maintenance is almost zero. It doesn't need to be looked after. It doesn't need to be fed. It needs a wipe down now and again if it gets rained on. Yeah. But generally speaking, it's a relatively low maintenance asset, which is generating for many sites hundreds and hundreds a year from basically passive investment. And as you said, right, as you alluded to right at the start, a very green investment, something which is contributing to reducing CO2 from from your site via the drivers, basically.
Yes, yes. And we did just touch on the very, very beginning prior to the start. Safety. Now, we do hear about EV charger caught fire or electric bike caught fire. I try to avoid reading those sorts of articles, but what can you tell us about the safety aspect of these charging points?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I think that they've all achieved all the necessary safety certificates, whether they're European safety certificates, UK, they reach all the open, which is like the electric shock certification. So they meet the various standards without requiring additional earth rods. The installers are all OZEV registered. So these are, you know, professional electricians. And as I said, these are units designed specifically for this purpose. They've designed to be waterproof. They've designed to last. They've designed to not to corrode. And the alternative, as I said, is people running cables on extension leads out of the window, which is highly dangerous. And when you hear about fires and so on, it tends to be those kind of hooked together bodges, which is where you hear the horror stories. And if we're seeing obviously increasing EV usage in the UK by 2035, no non-EV cars new EV cars will be able to be sold, increasing take up, that people are going to be demanding charging solutions just as they once demanded Wi-Fi. And now they expect Wi-Fi. And so, yeah, as a result, you've got to combat the more higher risk of somebody trying to hook something together themselves than offering EV charging through a professionally installed, highly certified product is clearly a safer option.
Yeah.
Some people will be happy for their guests to go to the nearest supermarket and charge there, but I think we all understand the guest experience, and what we want to do is make sure they've got everything they need and they're doing it properly and safely without trying to hook it together themselves.
Yeah, well, it's a guest experience and it's an upsell. Like you said, it's passive. It's just, you know, you don't have to worry about it. It's there. They use it, earn money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so VoltShare, you help with the installation. You know, you connect people up to the electricians. And then yours is the app that takes the payment, deals with the guest, takes the payment and stores the money for the manager to then withdraw when they want. That's what VoltShare does.
Yeah, effectively. So we outsource the installation because we want somebody local, we want somebody expert, and clearly there's a network of highly qualified professional installers across the UK and the world, right? And I think we are focused on the UK at the moment, but we are looking at Central Europe and the United States as potential new markets. But again, we use those installers because they are the electricians, and we need them to be local so that they can, because naturally the sites are local. Mm-hmm. And then we manage the service after that. So we're the software provider, the app provider. We provide as remote support. If there is any need for on-site support, then we would get back in touch with the installer that installed it and have them come around. So we act as the service provider on an ongoing basis to the venue owner, with a port of call if there are any problems.
Yeah, and there's no subscription. You just take a small commission from each charge.
Exactly. So the costs are the upfront installation costs and the charger, and then a small commission from the charge, which means, if nobody uses it, we don't get paid. We want people to use it. We encourage the promotion of it. We encourage the venues to make sure that if you're registered on booking.com or wherever, that you're highlighting this, because it will encourage EV users to go use it and to charge.
And like you said, the managers, property managers can charge what they want, so they can cover their electricity, cover a markup for themselves, and cover your commission. So everything's covered, and in fact, they earn more.
Yeah, exactly. It generates margin, and they are in full control of what price they want to charge and what they feel is acceptable.
I think what would be a very interesting exercise for anyone contemplating, should they put it in, is go onto the OTAs, do a search for the area, a property in their area, and click that EV charging point and see how many properties close by do have it. And if there aren't many, then you've got a nice little niche going on if you get it in.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We recently installed a lot of chargers in the Isle of Skye in deepest, darkest Scotland. And we went through that exact exercise ourselves as a team to look at mapping the UK and understanding around the major hotspots, the tourist locations. Where do you go if you if there's not a nearby charger. And surprising, you know, how few chargers there are in some of those critical places. And very often, it's the small B&Bs, the small hotels. These they're scattered across the country in some of the most beautiful places, often some of the most remote places. Mm. So they have a huge opportunity to better provide a service there that is otherwise unavailable and make sure that this network is created. And not least, we spoke about, would people off the street come in and use the chargers? I think there's also an opportunity for small communities, small rural communities to have charging at pubs and B&Bs and hotels and sports venues and tennis clubs and golf courses and things like that, that then become community assets that allow more people to use them if they want that. You've got that reliable supply. And if the venue owner wants to charge for that, they can. If they want to do it without taking a charge for the local community, they can do that as well. So it really becomes, a community asset, not just something for guests.
Yeah. That's lovely. Really nice. Well, is there something that we haven't learned about Voltshare that we should know? I think we've covered a lot, but is there something that we've missed?
Yeah, well, so one of the things that we've been doing as we've gone through this B Corp journey is to try to quantify the CO2 that we're saving, and that by venues using our product, they're reducing miles driven by internal combustion engine cars, and as a result there is some CO2 saving. And we actually did, we were sort of calculating this all the time, and I've got the latest figure being in the last 12 months 235 metric tons of carbon saved by our clients, drivers, via the various Voltshare chargers scattered around the UK. That's significant. It's just increasing exponentially. It was 150 metric tons in the last 6 months compared to 85 the 6 months before that. So you can imagine as more chargers go in, repeated use, this is just cumulative. And what does that mean? So obviously we're all trying to save the planet, and that's a good thing if we're encouraging and making it easier for EV cars to be bought, to be used, to be hired, because the facilities are available. Yeah. But also we've noticed that there's a number of the venues that we're working with are themselves going through a green journey. They're going through an understanding that tourism, hospitality can create detrimental effects on the environment. And so they're consciously operating in a way that reduces that. And one of the things that we've learned through the B Corp process is that there is we all know what carbon offsetting is. So we create X amount of carbons. Can we offset that by planting trees to basically neutralize it? We've learned about this concept called carbon insetting, which is the opposite, where it's actually starting to look as a business, looking at your supply chain and working with your supply chain to make changes and improvements, which allows you to reduce your business's CO2 emission by looking at the component parts that come into your business. And we're really interested in this because we're looking at venues and saying, well, if we can help you reduce the miles being traveled to your destinations using internal combustion engine cars, then you are in effect insetting your business. You're saying, well, we could potentially halve or quarter or the amount of carbon being created by the journeys to our venue. Therefore, actively working with EV charging providers, we can make a difference on a part of the business that we hadn't necessarily thought about. You know, we think about, well, what are we reducing waste in the venue? Are we making sure that water isn't being wasted? How are we recycling? Are we using products which are environmental? All of the things within your facility, getting that right. But this is a step further. You can go and say, well, actually, we can massively impact the journeys to our venue, thinking about EV. And then that becomes really important. You're stretching your arms beyond your site into the wider world. And I think we just love working with the venues to try and help them with that, to be able to quantify it, measure it, tell them, allow them to promote it on their websites to say, actually, we're making a difference. And it is about making some money from EV charging, but at the same time, it's about what's the green impact and providing our clients with the numbers through the app so they can see what a difference they're making through encouraging their drivers to drive via EV.
Lovely, lovely. And if someone wants to learn a little bit more about their carbon insetting, et cetera, can they speak to someone at Voltshare to discuss this and then with the installation, et cetera?
Yeah, I think we're happy to talk about that. The first thing is there's various inquiry forms through our website, but if there's a specific question around what the how do we calculate the insetting? How do we calculate CO2 based upon miles to the venue? We can show you our workings. There's obviously the calculator there. But if people are really being driven by that green angle, we're more than happy to help and show them how we calculate it, show them the app and what it will give them. And as I said, absolutely keen to have those conversations and help venue owners really make a difference to their CO2 footprint.
Fantastic. Well, that is a lovely way to end the interview. I will put the link for Vaultshare in the description below. If you have any questions for Mike, pop them in the comments below. Mike, it's been lovely learning about Vaultshare today and about energy charging.
Wonderful to speak to you. Thanks. Thanks for speaking to me.
Thank you so much. Speak soon.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Are you ready to start on your own green path journey? Why not take a look at the Green Step program? This has been tailor-made to take you step by step down the green path. You only see one step at a time, and that's all you focus on. Before you know it, you've gone down the path. To learn more, just head to thegreenpathpodcast.com.